The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
You know, I've seen enough of Zach Wilson.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How can a coach say the locker room's together?
The only advice you can give a young man like that is that you've got to block it out.
Why is he so positive about this guy when we're so miserable?
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. From NBC Sports, Peter King. CBS Sports analyst Amy Trask. Actor and director Josh Duhamel. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
And a very happy Thursday to you all. Susie Schuster sitting in for my husband, Rich Eisen, who is currently in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this is what I have to say. Chris Brockman, why aren't we there? He is there
for an incredible
Roku get-together.
I thought he was at Breaking Bad Fantasy Camp.
Well, he passed Los Pollos Hermanos several times heading out to wherever he is. By the way, Tuco just killed Doc Paulson on the way out there. There's some bodies out there, I'm just having to say. I have to tell you, TJ Jefferson, Mike Del Tufo, how are you guys? Sitting here, like as Chris Myers would say, he's there, we're here.
We're always here.
I'm really bougie. Why am I not there? There's free stuff, there's people to schmooze, and I'm sitting in this desk in El Segundo. I'm just saying, hey, Roku, great to see you all. Odyssey, YouTube, wherever you find us, all of our radio stations, thrilled to be with you here today. We have nothing to talk about.
Nobody can schmooze like you, Susie. Yeah, so it's a really missed opportunity.
Complimentary gift bags.
I'm value added, if I have to say so myself. Best mom ever here. 844-204 Rich. What was that?
I said branded pens and complimentary gift bags. Like, you know, that's what they're giving out.
Yeah, I thought you said something else.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, what? You know, I'm not that old, but I was like, wait, what did he just say?
What did you think I said?
I'll tell you in a break.
Okay, yeah.
I'll tell you in a break. Free advice today, 844-204-RICH. Call in. I know something about psychotherapy and help when your team is in the toilet. I also know a lot about when your quarterback is 3,000 miles away giving advice from afar to a team that's struggling. If you want me to hold your hand metaphysically or metaphorically or any kind of orally, call in today. 844-204-RICH is the number. I'm so happy to be here today. Peter King is going to be on the show. I love asking him every question in the world, which starts, of course, with how is your dog? Amy Trask, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's the host of the hottest new podcast coming out today called What the Football that Amy and I do every Tuesday here on the Rich Eisen Show podcast network. You heard me say that. And Amy and I do it every Tuesday. The Princess of Darkness is here in hour two. Hour three, Josh Duhamel, the great actor and friend of the show, is here to talk about Buddy Games, his new buddy show that's coming out on CBS. I have a little story to tell about the fact that we shared a... How's this for a strange tease? We shared a hallway once, Chris.
You and Josh Duhamel?
We did.
Wait, what?
I'm going to tell you the story. It's a great-looking hallway.
I mean, he put us in a movie, so of course he's welcome.
He did. Yeah,
that's true.
I met Josh on the field at USC when I was covering the Trojans. He was out there for a game when he walked over to me. He's like, hi, I'm Josh Duhamel. I'm like, I know.
Like, yes.
Oh, hi. Oh, what are you?
Hello.
Right?
Hello.
Lots to talk about. I'm trying to track down Ray Allen. He's on a course somewhere because he might want to talk about the Damian Lillard trade. No promises there. He'll probably call me the minute we get off the air. Like, hey, dude.
I just shot a 68. What's going on?
He's playing in a course that has a lot of wind and it's on a beach.
Yeah, Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Like
Ray, like sugar.
Like Jesus Shuttlesworth, like Ray Allen.
Like Jesus Shuttlesworth.
You really do know everybody.
Dude, I run deep.
I'm saying.
I covered, ready for this? This is, oh God. Like, rule number 750 as a woman in sports, never date yourself, right? So I covered the Sonics when they were the Sonics.
Okay.
All right. For TNT. So I spent a couple weeks up there.
So you saw my boy Danny Fortson on the team.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Altoona second finest after me.
Yep. So I hit up Ray. He's playing golf. It's a question. Trying to book these guys when they're playing golf, it's like you play golf every day.
It's impossible.
Take the time to call in because I know you want to talk
about that life.
This Dame Lillard trade.
I wish I was golfing right now.
You do? Listen, I got to tell you something.
When the show's over.
I stopped on the way in to get you breakfast. I don't want to hear a complaint out of your mouth.
I wasn't complaining.
Listen, Slappy, no complaints.
Get out of your mother for me.
Hey, how are you? I did track out something before this, and I did it in a Boston accent. It was fantastic. I kind of hope they use it. Anyway, we do it.
You cursed. You cussed a little. It was great.
I did.
Yeah.
I work blue. So does Amy Trask, by the way. Should we talk Lillard trade first or the 2-2-1 teams playing tonight?
Sure.
What do you want?
Well, let's talk Wayward first, since that happened kind of right in the third hour yesterday. The huge trade. Damian Lillard finally free from Portland. Going to Milwaukee, which absolutely nobody saw coming.
Nope.
Because he was talking the whole time about wanting to play for Miami. I don't know about you, TJ, but it feels like Miami kind of got a little arrogant with this, just assumed that they were going to get him at some point, that no other team could have a better offer than whatever they were offering, which seemed like it was Tyler Hero and a few pieces and some picks.
Yeah, they were really pushing Tyler, and it seemed like Portland from the jump just didn't seem interested.
Yeah.
So then you have to reevaluate. You have to assess, like, all right, you have this future Hall of Fame point guard, and he's saying he wants to come to your house. You got to do whatever it takes, short of giving up Jimmy Butler and probably Bam, because Bam is Bam's his boy, so Lillard wanted to come and play with Bam. So outside of those two, I feel anyone should have been fair game. And maybe you're right, man. Maybe Miami did get a little arrogant, thinking that we got this on lock, and
they thought they were the only team in town. I really think that. I really think that they thought, okay, we've got Jimmy. We know he wants to come here. Milwaukee's not always the place that a player wants to go to when they leave Portland.
And then Toronto was kind of a mystery team that popped up in the last week. It was like, oh, Toronto could be in it. What?
But then you're saying to yourself, well, why? Like, why would you go from Portland to Toronto?
Right.
It's pretty much
And any pieces that Toronto would have to give up, and you add Dame, are you any better? Are you suddenly now a contender in the East over Boston, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Miami? No. Are you going to get past those teams?
Let me tell you what we should have all known this was going to happen.
When Giannis started yapping
took
about
him as the first pick.
I saw that.
In the All-Star game.
Oh, that's right.
There's a tweet going around of a picture of Giannis's like pick sheet of who he wanted, and Dame was ahead of Jrue Holiday on that list. I saw that going around yesterday.
The Bucks have to show Giannis that they mean business.
Right.
They have to show him that they're willing to build around him. And now we've got a lot of money coming to Dame, a lot of money. Then, of course, the fourth year. I mean, we're talking about a long time there where he can win multiple times. That's a lot of money and a lot of time. And now the feeding frenzy turns to Jrue Holiday, because we know that he's barely going to unpack that suitcase in the Holiday Inn somewhere in Portland. Maybe he will not even unpack it at all. And he's going to move on.
I don't want to interrupt, but what you just said right there might be the biggest thing that comes into play, because Portland's going to give Jrue Holiday up for very little. Maybe a couple draft picks, maybe, you know, a decent player. But I'm thinking that they're going to want to get him off the book. So if you're a contender that feels you're a point guard away, and I'm looking at, you know, the Clippers, the Sixers, maybe even
Celtics
maybe.
Miami.
Like, Jrue Holiday is there for the taking, and you could probably get him at a much reduced price, much lesser than what it would have been 2 weeks ago had you called trying to get Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, I was listening to Brian Windhorst's podcast on the way in this morning. He was talking yesterday with his crew about it, and it's like, 20 teams are probably going to call Portland to inquire about Jrue Holiday, but who can get him and really be title contenders? And it's the ones that we just mentioned. It's Miami, it's Boston, it's Philadelphia, it's the Clippers. And they're going to get a decent amount for him. They want to get that contract off the books. He's getting paid a lot of money, especially when they acquire DeAndre Ayton, who's getting paid a lot of money. So you can't have both those guys on the roster. So he's going to get flipped pretty quickly here. It's just who can come in, make the most enticing offer in the quickest way. And then boom, suddenly they're now title contenders. But Milwaukee now, having just won a title a couple years ago, they've got a great starting five. After that, the bench is a little thin, TJ, but Giannis.
Chris Middleton.
Dame. Middleton. Lopez.
Portis.
How old is Lopez by now?
400 years old.
750. TJ, I'm sorry. I would almost want to argue with you. I feel like Jrue Holiday has just been set up to get paid, because now he's the prettiest girl in the dance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now he's pretty out there. And I think everybody needs him. I mean, okay, it seems like to me.
Well, he signed a big deal. He's already been paid.
He's been paid by Milwaukee. But he's going to want to have that. He's going to want, in the background, he's going to want to know that he's going to get more money on the other end.
When I say get him cheap, I meant like the deal-wise for Portland. It's probably not going to be a blockbuster deal.
Not going to be a blockbuster, but
that's what I'm saying. It's
just say for Boston, for example, they could offer up, you know, Brogdon, maybe maybe Robert Williams. And
do you give up Brogdon and Williams for Drew? I don't think that's a deal you make, Chris. Yes.
Do you?
Really?
Yes. They become the best team in the NBA with Drew Holiday.
So, in other words, win now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Win now. I mean, that's win what now. Everyone's doing. Everyone's building right now to win now.
You got Porzingis. Like, let's go. Let's add that Drew Holiday piece. Drew Holiday, lockdown defender. You need him to fill it up. Giannis got hurt in the playoffs last year. He can fill it up. He can score. He's a really good player.
Yeah. Memories of Clyde Drexler with this trade. Don't you think it's kind of like, huh, okay. I remember, like, Portland, they look lonely right now. I wonder who's going to end up there. And I just think that Milwaukee's never felt so fine. It's going to be a great day today in Milwaukee.
Man, the NBA is going to be so fun. Can't wait.
How long do we have? A couple weeks?
A couple weeks. I think
hey, the Clippers are healthy. It's 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out.
DJ, your boys are healthy.
It's great. Kawhi feels good.
You know, I heard someone told me the other day that Kawhi showed up at a Colorado game.
For Dion?
Yeah. And I'm like, one more game than the Clippers got him to show up for.
Peter, that's cold.
Now, you know I love Kawhi.
Peter King, I think, is heading to the Colorado game. Everyone's going to the Colorado game.
TJ, did you see James Harden last night?
No. What did he do now?
Oh, man. So he was at the, what is it called? The U.S. Open Cup for MLS.
Okay.
Miami was playing Houston. Messi did not play last night, but James Harden is one of the co-owners of the Houston Dynamo team.
Oh, okay.
Looking pretty slim.
Really?
You might get prime Harden this year if he shows up.
I still don't understand
what's
going on.
He wants to play for both your teams. He's on the Sixers, but he wants to play for the Clippers. So I think either way, you might get.
Either way, I'm going to be having James Harden.
I think you might have James Harden this year on your team, but he looks pretty good.
Good. Good. You know, because last year there was the thing where he looked like he put on a little bit of weight. But he dropped it super quick, too.
Is Ozempic Harden the name of your new fantasy? Like Ozempic Harden?
Monjaro Harden.
Monjaro.
That sounds like one of the Aaron names, doesn't it? Monjaro Harden. Add that one to the list.
Where are you? Aaron. Where are you?
One of the Key and Peele skits.
Where are you?
Do we want to talk about the Thursday night game, or are we moving on to Mike Tomlin? What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about this.
Do we want to do Mike Tomlin first? I mean, we do have a pretty big game tonight in Green Bay. Lions,
Packers.
I mean, we
Packers, do. 2-2-1 teams.
2-2-1 teams. I think it's the Lions.
Coming off a win.
First time being the favorites in Lambeau in forever. So.
Aren't you like a Jordan Love lover?
I love Jordan Love. I think he's
emerging
awesome.
Superstar.
I think he's got the Favre-Rodgers magic in
you
him
do?
Already. I do.
And this, you know what I love about this so much? Because a year ago at this time, you were like, Jordan Love can't play. Well, now we're looking at it and you're like,
well, you know, here's the thing. We were watching him play last year from the seats that his parents got at Arrowhead. Yeah. So, you know, it was hard to really tell, but you know, you get the binoculars and you look down
he's got the
flow, man.
Man, I'm telling
you. That comeback win last week, 18 points in the fourth quarter.
That was so
impressive.
He's
just got it.
But short week for the Packers, and they're pretty banged up right now.
Short week, banged up. We're going to see. I think Aaron Jones and Christian Watson are going to be game-time decisions. Same thing on the other side, David Montgomery. So we'll see. But I like Green Bay tonight, man. I like the home team.
I thought you said Dave in Montgomery, and I thought that was a caller. I'm like, what?
If there is a Dave listening in Montgomery right
Dave,
now,
I'm
please call
you.
Us.
I saw this one stat. They've got one game in 20 days from the rest between Thursday Night Football to Monday Night Football and a bye following the Raiders. They've got time to heal.
Great.
I mean, let's get them out here tonight, right?
Oh, man. And get a win tonight, be 3-1. That would be huge. They'd take control in the NFC North. Lambeau's going to be rocking. I think it's going to be a really fun, exciting game tonight, TJ. I know you're a Jamar Gibbs guy, so hopefully they can get a little bit more involved in space. Especially if Montgomery does end up having to sit tonight.
I'm also a Jordan Love guy, as I'll get to probably in fantasy later. But I'm giving him the rock tonight, Chris. I know how you feel about Thursday and fantasy, and I'm with you most of the time.
I hate guys on Thursday and fantasy.
But, you know, it's
brutal.
As Susie knows, I'm big on head or gut.
And gut.
I'm going with the gut. I'm going with the gut today, starting Jordan Love. So, God, if you're listening, help.
I didn't bring ice cream. That's only for What the Football. I'm letting you know that now.
It's still some in the freezer, though.
We still have flying saucers in the
goodness.
Freezer.
I had one yesterday. There's two full sleeves in
there. How good are they?
Next commercial break.
It was great. I immediately felt sick after, but it was delicious while I was eating it.
It's a little bit of a health nut, you know.
Do you think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
But there's so,
I don't need one of those 3 days in a row. I don't need 3 days in a row with the ice cream.
And I brought croissants this morning. Oh, so that, what does Rich bring
that
you?
That I do need.
Rich is like in a spa somewhere wearing a bathrobe. He FaceTimed me this morning.
He texted you in a row.
He FaceTimed me this morning. No. He's like, hi, honey. And I'm driving. I've got my coffee in one hand. I'm now having to FaceTime while I'm driving. Which, by the way, is asking a lot.
You're driving with your knees. We know that.
Well, I did. I got a little bit of coffee
is
in
that
the car.
Shot in the spa.
That's where he's at. That's from his bathroom. So look, if you look down, look. If you look past there, you're going to see Bob Odenkirk like stumbling with his tie on around his head.
And Skinny Pete.
Skinny Pete and the skateboarders, right?
Better call Rich.
Look, he's got the fireplace on at 7:30 in the morning. He's wearing a robe. He's like, hi, honey.
Do you feel like he's mocking you, right? Rubbing this in your face? He's got a fire pit at 7 a.m. and you're going to work?
I've got Taylor like, Mom, don't leave. I've got that.
And he's fire pitting it up.
Yeah, yeah. I've got Xander calling me, Mom, where's my computer? It's not where you said it was going to be. I'm being yelled at. It's 7:15.
It's too early for that.
And he's in the bathroom? Like, what chilling? The heck is happening here?
Disrespect is real.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tyreek. We can talk about him later.
Mike Tomlin knows my pain. Yeah. Mike Tomlin knows my... Mike Tomlin understands when you have to take care of people and give them what they want. And, you know, the people want this. Do they? Don't answer that, guys. Just don't. That said, Mike Tomlin had a great soundbite yesterday. Let's hear from the Steelers head coach.
Like last week, you said that the offense, you felt like it kind of lost its mojo from the preseason. Is one game enough to say they've got it back, or is it more on track?
I'll be really transparent with you. I didn't mean it last week when I said it. You guys asked me the question repeatedly in a bunch of different ways, and I'd given you the same answer. And so sometimes I just give you a colorful answer with a word like mojo, just so you guys can run with it and we all can move on with our day. The guys that know me, they know there's nothing mystical about performance. For my mentality or our mentality, we work, we improve, and then we go play. Sometimes, man, that cycle doesn't come quick enough. We got to stand in settings like this and absorb a lot of questions. They get repetitive. And so I gave you a little something. I don't subscribe to mojo or intangible-like things and all of that BS. We just got to work harder. We got to put together better plans. The guys got to understand those plans and make subsequent plays. But oftentimes when I'm asked questions along those lines, those are the answers I give, and you guys keep asking the same questions, and so I just give you something like mojo so you can run with it.
You got one this week?
It depends on if these questions get repetitive.
I love him so much.
Wow, that's amazing.
We're the idiots out there thinking, oh, we just got a great sound bite. He's talking about mojo. You're running back, you're calling, and you're like, I've got this great bite. Meanwhile, he's making fun of you the whole time. I'm with him. I hear you. I mean, do we have our mojo going?
Do we have it, Chris?
I feel good this morning.
I mean, I feel good. I came in. You were here. I had a chocolate croissant. I'm ready to go.
I woke up feeling dangerous. I'm telling you.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to Peter King, who I always love to have on the show, of course, from NBC Sports Football Morning in America. Amy Trask up ahead. She wakes up feeling dangerous every single day. This is The Rich Eisen Show, although rename it, people. He's hanging out. We're here working away. It's The Susie Schuster Show on Roku.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of The Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
What's your favorite Morgan Freeman movie?
What's your favorite
Morgan Freeman movie? Shawshank Redemption, 7, Unforgiven, Driving Miss Daisy, Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Those.
All of them. Gotta pick one.
I gotta pick one.
Gotta pick one. Life's about making decisions, Morgan.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Why did you choose that one?
So far away from me.
Is that right?
Yeah, I see that character when I look at the movie. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I just see me. You know what I'm saying?
Huh. So you became someone else?
Yeah. Well, I wait a minute.
Okay.
A bit of a caveat here.
Okay.
Because Clint Eastwood, being one of my favorite directors and acting partners, Million Dollar Baby was pretty good.
Well, I mean, you won the Oscar for that one, for Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, that's right.
That is true. Yeah. Although Unforgiven, to me, I've been talking about it the last 2 hours. That's a perfect movie, Morgan.
Perfect movie.
I mean, from beginning to end, what was it like working with Gene Hackman in that film?
And Gene's one of the masters. He's so believable. We had a scene in Unforgiven where he had me tied to the bars in jail, mm-hmm. and he was beating me and questioning me. And he came up in one scene and whispered in my ear, "I'm going to ask you some questions. Same questions that I asked whoever that was. And if your answers don't match up, I'm going to hurt you." I believed him.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, back here on Roku. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call, click Grainger, or just stop by. I like Grainger because I need them to help me keep this desk neat. Can't work like this.
Well, it's already neater because you're here.
Well, I got to go through here and throw things away.
Mean, Rich just has stuff everywhere.
You know, we almost got a divorce the first year of our marriage. Should I tell you why?
Oh, please.
The hamper's here. He'd come in and he'd dump his clothes on the floor in front of the hamper. I'm like, dude, I can't live like this. Like, you got to clean up. And so he'd always come home. And again, the hamper's right here. Clothes would be on the floor. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, he's the kind of guy that can leave the bathroom with a drawer open. I can't leave the bathroom with, like, everyone's like, oh, God, poor Rich. What a nightmare she is. He's still around. We've been married 20 years. That said, the hamper, the drawer. I had a divorce attorney in my wedding party. Wasser.
I'm
like,
yeah, I'm aware.
I'm just saying.
Well, he's like that in the back sometimes here. You know.
It's a mess.
Stuff everywhere.
I got to clean the studio up.
Not anymore, though, because the green room is immaculate, right?
Poor Peter King. He's listening to this thinking, why the hell did I agree to come home with Susan again? I mean, Peter, I got to tell you, you got me on a day I was feeling dangerous. How are you? So good to see you.
I'm great, Susie. And let me just tell you this. I have become Mr. Tidy in our apartment in Brooklyn. Okay, so I do the breakfast dishes. I clean up after dinner. And I do not leave the bathroom in anything other than tip-top shape.
Because, Peter, only a heathen would do that. I mean, I'm telling you, only a heathen. And, you know, Chris was...
Rich Eisen, heathen.
Chris was complaining about Sarah this morning. I'm going to throw you under the bus, Chris. Hold on a second.
Absolutely not.
Here we go. He was saying that Sarah doesn't empty the dishwasher. She's home all day, like, and there's an empty clean dishwasher.
Dude, those are privileged conversations.
Hardly. You air my life on TV all the time. Wow. Peter, don't you think that if there's a dishwasher right there and it's a dirty dish, you put it right in, right? You're not crazy, are you?
Well, let me just tell you this. Ann King gets a little bit upset with me because I like to actually wash the dishes.
Ooh,
she likes to put the dishes in the dishwasher because it saves water. And so we sort of have our tiffs about washing dishes in the sink or putting them right in the dishwasher. But I don't leave dirty dishes in the sink.
See, this is why people come here to the Rich Eisen Show, for content just like this, okay? Because this is really what's important. And I'm sure, by the way, the phone lines will light up just to complain about all this stuff. It's perfect. Peter, am I catching you on the way? Did Rich tell me that you're going to watch Dion this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Colorado-USC game. I'm looking forward to that. One of the things I've just been fascinated about are fascinated to see in the last month is that Deion Sanders, who for years was the most interesting story in sports, is again the interesting story and most interesting story in sports in about his sixth iteration as a sportsman. So I never really thought that I would say that, yeah, that Deion Sanders, he's doing the same job as Nick Saban, and he's doing it incredibly well, but he is, obviously.
What was the first time that you met him, Peter?
Oh, well, probably the first kind of interesting time that I had with him was in 1992, when he was playing baseball for the Atlanta Braves, and he wanted a new contract with the Atlanta Falcons. He was the best corner in football, wanted to be paid like a quarterback. And so he said, okay, I'll show you. I'm going to play baseball. So he was playing with the Atlanta Braves. And one day, Deion, at the time in 1992, Sports Illustrated was every bit as powerful as ESPN, maybe even more so. So I went to visit him in Pittsburgh. I actually went to his hotel room in the downtown Hilton in Pittsburgh. And I knocked on his door, and he had taken an offer that day against Tim Wakefield. And I knocked on his door, and he comes to the door, no shirt on, glistening with sweat, with a bat in his hand. And he was taking practice swings in front of the mirror. And he was talking about how I got to get out of this slump. So, but I'll never forget that week in Sports Illustrated, the cover was basically Which Way, Deion? And it had half of Deion's face with a baseball cap on and the other half with a football helmet on.
You know, and you say that, and you just think about the impact that he has had on sports for so long. Will he have had a bigger impact as a coach or a player?
I mean, we're still at kind of in the adolescent phases of that, and we'll see. But I think people need to remember about what was going on in sports 30 years ago. And I'll just tell you this. Deion Sanders was the best cover corner in football at that time. And in that same year, he led the major leagues with 16 triples in 97 games, just 97 games. It's 16 triples. He homered off Oral Hershiser and David Cohn. So, I mean, this guy was the bomb. He was the greatest. And so I think we all have to realize, I mean, this is a guy who hit .517 in the World Series. But I think we all have to realize that, yes, it's okay to be a prisoner of the moment to say this is incredible what he's doing as a coach. And I think it is. But he was pretty incredible 30 years ago, too.
What's your favorite Deion football story?
Well, my favorite story was the time that, I mean, this is very selfish.
Oh, good. We like that here.
I was working for ABC Monday Night Football for 2 years in 94 and 95. And I remember, or was it 95 and 96? Two of those years. But anyway, I remember I asked Deion at the time if I could interview him Monday during halftime. For the game, they were, you know, he was the big story at the time. He was going to have a little surgery on Monday. So I went and interviewed him when actually he was just still groggy from the surgery. And he said, I said I would do it. I'm going to do it. And he did it. He was groggy. He wasn't great, but he just got up out of the chair afterwards and walked away. Like I said, that was a pretty cool thing. To remember the agreement you made, you're probably in the recovery room. You can't even see straight, but you said, I made an agreement. I said I would do it, and he did it.
So much to talk about with you, Peter. I could have you on for the whole show. Let's hit a couple things that I know are near and dear to Rich's heart. What do you make of what's happening across the bridge from you with the Jets, with Aaron Rodgers opining from 3,000 miles away, Joe Namath, Trevor Siemian, Zach Wilson? Just a total hot mess that is the New York Jets.
I mean, they just got kicked in the stomach, or maybe a little lower, when they were planning all for one thing. And that was to have Aaron Rodgers be everything for this franchise. So how do you, what do you do when that happens? You try to make this player who you had hoped to have a redshirt year under Aaron Rodgers, you try to get him ready to go. Clearly he's not ready to go. And I see all this criticism. Oh, Salah is an idiot. What, how come he can't see this? Salah sees it. He just can't say it. What would Salah be like saying, yeah, the guy stinks, but we're going to try to win with him? No, he's got to pump him up. And again, I've not talked to Salah about this. Maybe he really does think he's great, but I doubt it. And look, I just think that this is one of those years that everybody has just got to take kind of a deep breath and try to get through it the best he can and try to win games every week. The way that you look at the way the Bengals are going to have to win this year, totally different. But you think that Joe Burrow is going to be healthy at any point this year? I don't think so. He keeps saying, yeah, I'll be okay in a few weeks. I just have to make sure I don't have any setbacks. He's not going to be okay this year. You don't get better by playing a football game every week when you have a calf injury. But I think the one thing I would say about the Jets is they just got to go into every game every week figuring out some way, any way, to try to keep it close so their defense can win in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you mentioned Burrow. I mean, he's talking about tweaking his mechanics so that he doesn't affect that sprain, which, of course, if I'm – and I know how much younger he is than Aaron Rodgers, but you know that calf strain is an injury that does not go away without some serious rest. Yeah. We're talking about him tweaking his mechanics. We're talking about Tua bracing his falls a different way. It's a crazy time in football. I want to ask you about the Dolphins before we move on to anything else. What do you, when you're watching them right now, and obviously you've been covering football for as long as you have, what do you think about this team? I mean, are they what we are expecting them to be right now?
Well, just think of this, Susie. I always think that today's September 28th. Just think. We are 3 months away from week 15 or week 16, excuse me, in the NFL. I mean, this season is a long season, and teams are going to look a lot different 3 months from now than they look right now. And the only reason I say that is that I think you can look at any year and say, find the team that looked best in week 2 and 3. And very rarely are they the team that look best in week 17. So I'm only saying that you've got a couple of guys on this team, namely Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill. You've got two guys on that team who really have not been able to stay healthy, mm-hmm. you know, for the full year recently anyway, in particular. So, I mean, I guess I would look at this, Susie, and say, hey, Tua plays 17 games. Tyreek Hill's healthy for 17. They got most of their guys healthy. I don't know who's beating them. That's all I can say. But, you know, that's a big deal to stay healthy for 17 games in the NFL these days.
Yeah, that's why I never prognosticate Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Who do you think the last undefeated team could be, Peter?
Well, I don't know. Are there any left? I mean, what? There's three undefeated teams now? I don't know. I mean, the Dolphins are going to have a really tough time in Orchard Park this weekend. We all know that. I would say if I had to pick one, I'd pick the Eagles because I think they do so many things well. They've proven time and again that they can triumph over adversity. I mean, I'm still, when I look back at the Super Bowl last year, I'm still a little bit surprised that they didn't win that game. But, you know, look, I think I would guess Philadelphia. But again, look, I think San Francisco and Miami are both capable right now of winning the Super Bowl, you know, when it's played.
One more week left on the pop list for Jonathan Taylor. Where do you think he ends up?
I think that he's going to be – I didn't think this until recently. But, yes, I really think he's going to be traded. And I think he's going to be traded – I don't know where, Susie. I don't have a good feel. I thought for a long time it actually might be Miami. But now with – Devon Achane and obviously Raheem Mostert showing that they can carry the load in Miami. They won't. I think it's going to have to be a team whose running game is really struggling, but who think that they've got a chance to go a long way this year. I mean, maybe Cleveland. I just don't know right now, but it's going to have to be a team also that's willing to spend real cap dollars to sign Jonathan Taylor beyond this year.
I mean, that would have made sense then to say the Browns. I mean, they built to win right now without their injury. I mean, will they spend the money?
That's the question. They have the money. Look, Andrew Berry, I think, is an excellent young general manager. He could figure it out if they want to. But you've also got to think, okay, they believe right now, deep down, Nick Chubb is going to be Nick Chubb opening day next year. The question is, maybe, could you convince Jonathan Taylor to come for a prove-it season? Would it be worth, let's say, a 3-5 to Cleveland to have that guy maybe for 1 year? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how they would look at that. But I look at a team that really wants to win and feels like it's built to win now, who could really use them this year. I think Cleveland's one of those teams.
A few more minutes with Peter King. Okay, so Peter, we've got Devontae Adams unhappy in Las Vegas. We've got Justin Fields bickering with coaches. We've got a lot of drama, clearly, from the Jets sideline and everywhere else, it seems like. What's the most intriguing story to you right now?
Most intriguing story, I think, when I look at the totality of the league, is Mike McDaniel and Tua and what the Dolphins are doing. I mean, I think more than the score of the game last week, one play totally represents to me what this Miami Dolphins team is. And that is, you put, you basically, you're near the goal line, you put Tyreek Hill in wide motion behind the backfield. Tua's got the ball. He's staring at Tyreek. You're sure he's going to give it to him. And instead, he throws a no-look shovel pass for a touchdown. And, I mean, who thinks of throwing a no-look shovel pass? I mean, that's even big for Mahomes. And Tua did it. And I just said, there is nothing that Mike McDaniel won't try.
Before we let you go, I want to play a soundbite for you from Willie Gay. Let's roll this in and we'll talk about it on the other side.
When you look on tape, what are you seeing from Zach Wilson and their offense?
Damn. That was a hard question. I can't lie. The team that want to run the ball, mm-hmm. Of course, man, that wasn't to be funny or anything, right. But A-Rod got hurt and it turned into a team where, like, in panic mode almost. That's what I see, at least. And they got great running backs, so now they're just trying to pound and ground like they did. What game was that? Who did they just – I don't know if they won or not, but I feel like the running back's been rolling. So, like I say, three great ones, so I feel like that's their game plan.
So, Peter King, I want to ask you this. You and I have been around a while. We're both journalists. I have been offended in prepping for this at how people take other people's work and they aggregate it and they put on a clickbait-style headline saying Willie Gay is coming off and he's making fun of Zach Wilson and he's having fun at his expense. And they're making it sound like he was roasting or trolling Zach Wilson. What do you think?
You know what I loved about that answer? If you listen to the answer rather than read a snippet of a quote from him, you actually listen to the answer and you say, he's absolutely right. They do look a little panicky in the passing game. And yes, they are trying to win by running the ball. Congratulations. You got a guy who tells the truth. And he did not rip Zach Wilson.
No. And, it made me think of sometimes when you're on the sidelines and you're in that unfortunate space where you have to ask your coach about the second half adjustments. And they say something like, well, if we want to win, we have to run the ball. You're not going to If you don't run the ball, you're not going to win. It's like, oh, great. Thanks for that piece of information. It makes me feel angry when I feel like journalists, so to speak, out there are taking information and twisting it for clickbait. So I'm just curious, as somebody who has written the written word for so long and seen how the business has changed, I mean, what do you think of this? I mean, I just found myself so irritated when I saw it, and I thought I would ask you since I had you on today.
I think one of the things that is bothersome about our business is I saw a little headline this week. I forget where it was, but it said breaking. Matt Canada working more with Kenny Pickett this week or something. I forget what it was exactly, but I just shook my head and say, wow, the offensive coordinator, he's got some, you know, he's working with the quarterback. You see stuff like that now all the time, all the time. And I don't know why, other than there's probably, there are probably 8 million people covering the NFL right now, although it might be 80 million. And I keep thinking that the herd needs to be thinned.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Peter, have fun in Boulder. Will you wear the gold glasses?
I will not, but I will wear these glasses. Where are they right now? I know I got a pair of regular black horn rim glasses. When I put them on, I look like Spencer Tracy. But that's what I'll wear this weekend.
Fantastic. If you want me to send some gold ones, I'll try to get them out to you. You just let me know where you're going to be.
No, thanks.
Peter, thanks again for your time. Have fun. Say hi to Dion for us.
All the best, Susie. Take care.
Great to have you on. Peter King, of course. What a gentleman. Spencer Tracy drop. You didn't expect that today on the Roku channel of the Rich Eisen Show.
Also, Peter King is not like us. You're offering him complimentary stuff, and he's saying no to it? Del Tufo would never.
That's true.
I mean, come on. Exactly. Del Tufo, come on.
Peter, what are you doing?
Mike, do you want me to get you some glasses?
Oh, Mike, so you ordered them.
Do you have them?
I have them.
He ordered some. The gold ones don't ship till December.
The gold ones don't ship. They're back ordered, so I got the regular black ones.
Coach said he was going to send us some, so we're holding out.
When we come back, I'll give you a promo code for 20% off those gold glasses.
Full circle, Spencer Tracy.
844-204-RICH. Look at Mikey. Looking hot back there with the headphones.
You said how Aaron Paul, you were thinking of killing off his character by the end of season one.
The original idea was, you know, you always got to come up with a great season ender. You want a cliffhanger of an episode to keep folks watching next year. And my thought early on, before I even met Aaron, before we cast Aaron, was to have this young guy, former student of Walter White, played by Bryan Cranston, give Walt his entree into the business, sort of show him the ropes of criminality. And then at the end of that first season, that character, Jesse Pinkman, would get horribly killed in some very cinematic, graphic way that I never quite nailed down. But he would be murdered by some rival drug dealers, and Walt would feel very guilty, and then he would seek revenge, and that would propel us into season two. Then I meet Aaron Paul, and I cast this young guy, and he's fantastic in the role, and he's such a sweet guy to boot. He's just a wonderful guy that I think we're probably shooting the second episode, and I was hanging out on the set with him, you know, sitting in those chairs near the monitors, and I just make a conversation. I say, you know, I was going to kill you off. That was the original plan. He goes, what? He gets right. All like really nervous. He goes, what are you talking about? No, this is a good thing. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell him the story I just told you, but he's not hearing the compliment contained within. He's just thinking, oh my God, I might get killed off. And I told this story to Bryan Cranston. I think he wandered by as he's hearing the tail end of this. And he was relentless for the next 6 years. He'd get, every time he got a script for a new episode before Aaron did, he'd look through it and he'd read it. And then he'd go up to Aaron, he'd say, buddy, he'd put his, start massaging his shoulders. It was this next one. It's, at least you're going to go out with a bang.
Stream Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platform. That is right. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Rich all season long for free and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions apply. So somebody wrote in, Susie and Rich sound exactly alike. We've been together for 25 years. You start to talk alike after a while. But I know to pause, get in the zone, AutoZone.
Gotta go a little bit,
you're a professional.
Gotta go a little deeper on the AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. I can't get down that low. This is my safety place.
Yeah, you do
place.
You.
Instead of ice cream, I think we need some cigarettes and whiskey.
this morning, Mike.
I mean, by the way,
AutoZone.
A little AutoZone. Japanese whiskey never hurt anybody, but I'm just saying.
I mean, I offered to AutoZone it, but I was quickly shot
get
down.
In the zone.
AutoZone.
Hey. I can't get down that low. I'm trying. Work on it. By the next time Rich goes somewhere bougie and I fill in, I will work on my Pat Summerall. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
I always ask if Hot Rod Fitton from our NIL name has AutoZone reached out to Hot Rod Fitton yet? Because, again, I think it was a perfect mashup. And
yeah.
There's money to be had there.
Speaking of money, Tua's making money. And Peter King just spoke about Tua, and for all of you who miss Peter King, go to the YouTube page, go find it wherever. He's kind of great and amazing. He did talk about Tua's last touchdown pass, and here's a little bit of salty Tua.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Salty Tua.
Tua, we have seen the highlight plenty of times this week of your no-look to Devon. Mm-hmm. How much and how far do you practice throwing with your off right hand?
I don't really practice throwing with my right hand. But yeah, shoveling, I mean, I never thought of it as throwing with my right hand for a touchdown pass for those two shovels, but it's what it was. So that was cool. Two left and two right. Has it ever been done in the NFL?
So who's more annoyed with the press, Tua or Mike Tomlin? That's my question for you.
Tua was happy.
Mike Tomlin. Yeah,
that was happy Tua.
That was happy Tua.
Yeah.
By the way, can you tell the difference between salty Tua and happy Tua half the time?
You can.
I don't know.
Have you been watching salty Tua?
I watch a couple editions of salty Tua.
There is definitely a difference. That was Tua.
That was happy Tua. Yeah.
I wish Tua. Are they doing a season two of the quarterback show? Have they announced that yet?
I hope they do.
So having Tua on would be awesome because I think like seeing him outside of the office, like what is he at home? You know, he just got married like a year ago. Like how does him and his wife interact? What does he find funny? What does he binge? I'm fascinated by all things Tua right now.
Are we at the point of the show where I start pitching shows to Roku? But they're not watching because they're all hanging out with Rich in some bougie place in Santa Fe. Let's do a show.
Maybe we'll get the call for the co-host summit.
Yeah, let's pitch. Let's pitch an off-season adventure with Tua where we just basically like shadow Tua all the time.
I want Tua on Survivor. Let's have him make the game show rounds.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right, Jeopardy, everywhere. I need just more Tua being himself. Obviously, he's like cracking himself up. He's making himself laugh. Like, it's great.
So you need more cowbell and more Tua.
More
is that
cowbell,
what you're saying?
Good, need more cowbell, babe.
More Tua. Let's go.
Yes.
I set you up for that, didn't I?
Thank you.
Another thing
about Tua real quick, Susie. It's a little thing. Tua might have the nicest signature that I've ever seen.
You love Tua's signature.
Tua's signature. I brought it up. He signed something for me once when we were in Miami. And first of all, with that name, it's so long. His signature is immaculate. It's incredible. I just like to throw that out there about Tua every now and then.
Was that like a name drop or a signature drop? What was that, Chris?
That was like a, hey, I met Tua and got him to sign something. Look how cool.
I have an autograph.
But I don't. It wasn't an autograph for me, per se. I'm just saying.
Here's my story from that. So there was a sporting goods store on the main yeah. Mall outdoor road on the way to our
Collins,
studio.
Somewhere on Collins Beach.
Somewhere. So I went in there. I was like, oh, Tua's coming on tomorrow. Let me buy an Alabama hat. I'll try to get him to sign it. We'll have it for the set when we come back. Mm-hmm. So I go in there. I get an Alabama hat. Tua comes on. He looks at me and goes, you're an Alabama fan? I was like, eh. And so he started to sign it, but the pen didn't work. So he was kind of being shuffled out of there, so we just stopped. So he had literally just started to do the T, and it stopped working. So I was like, all right, well. And then I returned the hat the next day and got my money back.
No, you did not.
I did.
How much was the hat? Like 10 bucks?
No, like 20, 25 bucks.
30
bucks
for a hat. You went out of your way to one of the myriad strip malls in Florida with one of the myriad crap stores that sell paraphernalia, et cetera.
It was a lids on
to
the
get
beach.
That back?
Yeah, no, and then I returned it. And then so now someone probably ended up buying that hat, not knowing
with
that
a half Tua.
They have the Tua signature on it.
That was the most Larry David moment of your life. Are you an Alabama fan?
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Joe Burrow said the same thing to me when I had him sign an LSU thing.
Amy Trask is in the studio. We've got the ice cream ready. We're going to talk football when we come back. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Insubordinate.
Yeah, TJ
and
I
churlish.
Went to TJ Maxx because we needed some just stuff for the week.
Yeah.
And they had, on the sale stuff, it was like $4. They had an LSU football locker Christmas ornament.
No, they did not.
And I was this is cool. Joe Burrow's coming on. So I got that, and I got him to sign that. So I have that at home.
I remember this.
An LSU Christmas ornament.
Signed so you by got that going for
signed
you.
Signed by Joe Burrow, and he did the same thing. LSU fan? I go,
Chris is like, man.
Joe Burrow was not really having it.
But he knew that there's no chance. He took one look at you, and he was like, there's no way.
By the way, but I didn't sell it. I still have it at home.
Do you put it on the tree every year?
I think so, yeah.
Is Cage going to break it this year?
It's very possible.
There's a great shot
there's
of that.
Great chance it's getting broken.
All right, Amy Trask ahead of us, and we've got the ice cream out. We've got leftover ice cream from What the Football, because we eat ice cream every Tuesday when we break down football. I've got some flying saucers. That'll melt any minute, but Amy Trask, this is what I love about her. She can't have enough. She's got to bring her own sprinkles. We call them Jimmies where we come from.
Jimmies.
Sprinkles, right? Jimmies. I got a text from Leslie Vester. Tell her that they're Jimmies. They're not sprinkles. They're Jimmies.
That's true.
Hey, I got your Jimmies for you.
It's out of your mother for me.
Hey. Yeah, how you doing?
How you like them apples?
I don't like apples. I like ice cream. I mean, come on. All right, so we've got Amy Trask ahead of us, Josh Duhamel in the third hour. Stick and stay for the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Do you need me to help you psychologically with your losses? Are you a Jets fan? If you are, what's your problem? Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.